Hey everyone, it's Velga here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
B-Pod Studios.
Noah says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Velger and Matt.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hour number two, Felger. I'm sorry, hour number three. It's a 4 o'clock hour here at 4:03 in the afternoon. Felger Maz on a Friday. It's agenda free, driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Catch him at BernardiAutoGroup.com. Christopher Gasper is standing by. Will be joining us momentarily. He has thoughts on Patriots and Red Sox. In the meantime, while we're waiting for Chris to log in, do you have any fresh thoughts? Or you want to go do some more phones while we're waiting for Chris?
Well, I'll just tell you, I'm still sifting through it. This relates to the Red Sox. But Alex Cora did his pregame tonight, and there's some interesting stuff in there. And so, I think the Red Sox are effectively going to a four-man rotation here. Chris Sale and Eovaldi are going to be pitching on 4 days of rest, it sounds like, which is standard rest. It's not long
rest. Yeah, right.
Or let me rephrase. Cora said he's comfortable with those guys doing that at this stage. And so, it feels to me like the Red Sox are now gearing up for a sprint over the final 2 weeks. I think that is noteworthy given how they usually approach baseball.
And needed, or might you say overdue?
Way overdue.
I mean, weren't they really sort of, the first handful of starts, they were coddling Sale.
Yes, totally. And so, again, now, the only time he pitched on 4 days of rest, standard rest, he didn't do well. So let's keep an eye on that. But it feels to me like the Red Sox are basically going to sprint to the finish line.
Okay. And I think we'll take that as a good sign. Christopher Gasper will be joining us now. He's brought to you by Premier Basement Waterproofing. This football season, your basement is guaranteed to stay dry when you use our guy. That's the guru, Mike Albert, Maz. So do what Beetle and thousands of homeowners across New England have done. Beetle's explained to me this process that they use. It's pretty intense.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It's really kind of cool what they do. If you want more details and you want to just check it out and you want to get on board the game over for Water Train, schedule with Crystal. Give Crystal a call. 844-LIVE-DRY. Or visit premierbasement.net. When you do that, what happens, Maz?
It's game over for water.
That's right, Murray. It's game over for water. Yeah. Gasper, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah, how you doing, kid?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. How are you guys doing?
We're doing good.
Excellent.
Give me some Mac Jones commentary. Week one, what'd you think?
Exceeded my expectations. I thought he was very good. But I look at it and I think we're going to see this script throughout most of the rest of the year. He wasn't the reason they lost, but he also wasn't the reason they won. And I think that's really what it's going to be. And I think that he's sort of in this first year, what people tried to paint Brady as for a long time in the beginning and what he really never was, which was a system quarterback. I look at Jones and I think he's sort of a programmable passer at this point. He doesn't really take big chances. He executes the offense the way they want it to be executed, which is great. But I think that at a certain point this year, he's going to have to realize that what is the right read on paper might not be the right read in reality, given what a certain situation is in a game, time and score, given what a play is, given what open is relative to what he's used to at Alabama. I mean, he didn't throw any balls into the end zone. They're 1-for-4 in the red zone. So I thought he was very good. And I think ultimately, look, in today's day and age, when we discuss sports, it's hard to find the proper perspective. On one end, you have TJ Ward calling him the checkdown king, which was ridiculous. But then on the other end of that spectrum, you have people after this performance anointing him Brady 2.0, which to me is equally ridiculous. The truth lies somewhere in the middle.
Okay. What other statistical backing do you want to use for your take here? You had some next gen stats in your email there, Chris?
I did have some next gen stats. So I'll give you an example of what I'm talking about in terms of being a system quarterback and maybe not taking a ton of chances. 29 of his 39 attempts were less than 10 yards from the line of scrimmage in the air. That's 74.4% of them, according to next gen. By comparison, Tua, 15 of his 27 would fall into that category of 10 yards or less, which is 55.6%. average air yards to completion for Mac Jones in that first game, 5.4. That's 22nd in the NFL in week one. Average air yards per attempt. So this is not just balls completed. Any attempt he threw, how far did it go in the air? What was the average? 6.3, which was 26th in the NFL, putting him in between Jared Goff and, wait for it, Kirk Cousins. You know who led an expected completion percentage in week one? This is a number they figured, not your real completion percentage, but what it should have been. The week one leader, Andy Dalton at 73.5. Mac Jones was third at 69.5, followed by, wait for it, Kirk Cousins at 69.3. So some of this obviously could change. It's one game. We shouldn't base anything on one game. I get it. But for the he's the next Brady crowd, I would just say, look at some of those next gen numbers. And what you see is someone who's not a check down king, but also not operating at a level of a Tom Brady or really a difference maker quarterback. He's sort of just a conductor of the offense, going with the flow where the offense takes him, where the reads take him. There's not a lot of plays there that are sort of off script. I would say it's just paint by numbers, right? It's the difference between, you know, Picasso and paint by numbers. Both of them can get you where you want to go, but one has a little more art to it, a little more flair to it, right?
That's a fancy way of saying you think the kid's a hack.
I don't think he's a hack. I think he has a very high floor, but I'm still not budging on the ceiling. That's what I'm saying. Like, he's not going to be a bust. And I'll tell you this right now, the level of quarterback play he gave them in week one, they should make the playoffs with that. That's good enough. This kid is good enough to make the playoffs with, but will he be the difference in them winning a bunch of games this year? I don't think so. I don't think he's that type of quarterback.
Well, go ahead, Mess.
All right. So Chris, as you rattled off those statistics, and I generally agree with your assessment of it. I think he was very safe, but that first one, when you say that, you know, 29 of 39 were within 10 yards of the line of scrimmage.
Yes.
Didn't we have a lot of weeks when Brady was here? It was the same thing. I mean, isn't that partly their offense, you know, short, safer throws?
That's fair.
So now you want to tell me the air yards and the unwillingness to throw the ball down the field and the part of that that we would put on the quarterback. I'm with you. If they have the same quarterback play all year, not good enough. They need plays out of the quarterback.
Well, I disagree. I think it is good enough relative to how they built the team, which is that the quarterback's not supposed to be the focal point of the team. But I think it's not good enough relative to the argument of, you know, do we have a difference maker quarterback yet? And I just think some people were like, wow, oh my God, you know, he's Brady 2.0, or, you know, wow, look at this. Here's a guy that's going to be in the top 10 quarterbacks in the NFL. And I just think when you look at that next gen stuff, that doesn't say top 10. That basically says what they've said, all they need, top half. You know, but it's a difference between being 10 and, say, 16. But that could be a big difference in the NFL in terms of what your margin for error is to win games. So I think he is good enough for them to make the playoffs with. But I think when you dig into these numbers a little bit, and to answer your Brady thing, you're absolutely right about that. Part of that probably is the offense. However, people were saying that was the case with Brady because, well, he can't throw deep. He can't do this. He can't do that. Now you put him in a different offense in Tampa, and it turns out, well, he can do all that stuff.
In watching last night's game, did you watch Giants-Washington?
I did. We were texting about it.
Yeah, so do you – just never mind these stats. You watched someone like Taylor Heinicke, who's a career backup. Do you see really any difference from the way that he played to the way Mac Jones played last Sunday?
Oh, my God. This is such a set of – obviously, he texted you that during the game. Go ahead.
No, he didn't, actually.
I can feel the text.
Mike, I swear on my mom. No,
we never talked about – in fact, what we talked about was how good Daniel Jones looked.
You just know that Gasper sent him a text that said, this Heinicke kid is exactly what Mac Jones is.
No,
this is
– that never happened.
No, but I also believe that Murray doesn't remember it because he was probably smoking.
But go ahead. You do think they are similar.
Yeah, I do. But I mean, look, Taylor Heinicke's 28 and Mac Jones is 23. So Mac Jones has a lot of room to grow. I'll tell you what, somebody got on me about as people are want to do on social media. I had a very nice direct message exchange with somebody about this, about the Jack Jones thing. And I'll go to what I always say about it. Okay, I put myself out there and who I think he's going to be. Who do you think he's going to be? And you know what this very nice gentleman said? He said, better than Garoppolo. And you know how I responded? I said, that's basically Kirk Cousins, which I've said is his ultimate ceiling, Kirk Cousins. So that's my question. For all the people who disagree with me, put a name to it. Philip Rivers, Matt Ryan, Roethlisberger, Brady, put a name to it, because that never happens. What happens is you're wrong, you're being unfair. And then I'm like, well, who do you think he is? And it comes back, Kirk Cousins, it's semantics. We're basically saying the same thing.
Look, I think Heineke's okay, but I felt he was loose with a lot of throws. A lot of them were either, high. He airmailed a couple. He feels like his ball's a little lofty, or it gets away from just a. I don't think he's particularly accurate. I like the way he moves.
Really? What about that throw to Ricky Seals-Jones? Was there a throw for Mac Jones like that throw?
Okay, so but I'm not talking about every single throw. I'm just looking at his first throw of the game. He's got the tight end.
It's the ones you didn't like that were loose. Got it. We'll skip right over the Ricky Seals-Jones throw, was the type of chance Mac didn't take and the type of fit it in a window throw we really haven't seen yet.
Okay, no, you're getting angry for some reason.
I'm not angry.
I'm not angry.
So I apologize, Mike. It's a tonality issue.
No, I mean, I didn't see every throw. But
now he's definitely angry.
I don't know. I feel Mac Jones is already more accurate than Tyler Heineke. In the limited amount that I've seen Tyler Heineke and the limited amount I've seen Mac Jones, I feel Mac Jones is more accurate. Now, maybe because he's throwing underneath the whole time, fair enough. He's not taking as many shots. But Mac Jones better. He better be better than Tyler Heineke, don't you think?
I think he will be. Yeah, definitely. I was going to be better. But the question was right now, right now, what are they? And I think, again, that's a little unfair. I mean, Heineke's 28 years old. Mac Jones is 23. He's played one NFL game. But the question was, what are they right now? And I think right now, yeah, they're similar quarterbacks right now.
Boy, Mac Jones is going to have it tough with Channel 5 going forward, man. He's going to have to be really good for Channel 5 to give him some positive.
No, you got it backwards. Forget about the exclusive interviews for Channel 5.
Holy smokes.
No. I said he was very good, and he was very good in that game, and he certainly was good enough for them to win the game and good enough for them to make the playoffs with. I'm just saying it was not – there were people who were like, oh, my God, this is Tom Brady 2.0. The numbers don't bear that out, and I think he's going to have to get comfortable – taking some more chances down the field, just not just say, because I think Bedard said this to you guys. I think Brian Flores kind of baited him a few times into taking underneath stuff with pressure. Like the pressure wasn't designed to get a sack. It was designed to have the quarterback get rid of the ball quickly instead of waiting a little while to get a bigger chunk play. So like on paper, that's the right play. Like that's good. Get the ball out, get the completion, take what the defense is giving you. But if you do that too much to one degree, now you're sort of letting the defense dictate what you do instead of attacking.
All right, speaking of Bedard, we'll hear from him coming up. I want Chris's thoughts on another question kind of related to this. What are you more concerned by? The Pats quarterback play or the fact that they lost despite the quarterback play that they got, if you know what I mean? Let's pick this up on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub and streaming anywhere you go on the Sports Hub app.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.
No thanks.
Felger and Maz.
Those guys are always trouble.
I want nothing to do with this guy.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The big change since 2019 is on defense. Brian Flores left. It's Steve Belichick and Gerard Mayo. They were the coordinators down the stretch in 2019 when they had the NFL's best defense. They fell on their face at the end of the season. In my opinion, The biggest thing has been they have not been able to get the big stop on defense anymore. And that includes on Sunday when the Dolphins shoot themselves in the foot. It's first and 14 at the 5-yard line. Any other year, you said, well, this is over. Patriots are going to stop them. They're going to get the ball back. Field goal, game over.
I love this instead, take. I love this take.
Instead, they come out. This is another personnel thing that I don't get. Look, I understand Stephon Gilmore's not out there. I understand against three wide receiver sets, you need Jonathan Jones inside, and you got to deal with Jalen Mills. Dolphins come out in 12 personnel. One running back, two tight ends, two receivers. Who are the two cornerbacks out there?
Mills and Jackson, right?
Mills and Jackson.
Why is Jackson not on Devontae Parker there?
Well, that, and why isn't Jonathan Jones out there on Jalen Waddle? That should have been the matchup. Instead, they come out and they got Jalen Mills out there, and they keep running the same thing where they just read the cornerback and the safety, read option. Are you in bail technique? Yep, I'm throwing a slant on you. Boom.
It was so easy.
No adjustment the whole game.
So easy.
It was the first. That was the same play they ran on the first play of the game to his first throw of the game, and then they had their biggest completion on it later in the game, and there was no adjustment.
That was Bedard earlier in the week, and the jumping off point there, Chris Gasper, Channel 5, joining us, was the fact that the Patriots, if you want to go back to Thanksgiving of 2019, Thanksgiving of Brady's final year, from that point forward, they're 9-14. And if you want to look further, in one possession games since that time, they're 4-9. They've played 13 one possession games, 13 games that have ended 8 points or less as a final point differential, and they've only won four of them. So the thing kind of actually goes back before Mac Jones, before Cam Newton, into the end of the Brady time. And so that was sort of the lead into the question that I gave you, which was they got the quarterback play they wanted on Sunday, and they still lost. So is that even more concerning to you than Mac Jones being Kirk Cousins or Andy Dalton or whatever, Tyler Heinicke?
Yeah, no, it's Taylor. But yeah, no, absolutely. That is more concerning to me because the quarterback play was more than good enough for them to win the game, particularly for Mac Jones' first game. And it's the idea of what they're doing. It's supposed to be the rest of the team that helps the quarterback, helps elevate the quarterback. And it just wasn't there. Now, look, I'll say you're not going to win a lot of games when you score 16 points, but that's not on Mac Jones. I mean, you spend $87 million on two tight ends. Where were those guys in the red zone? Where were they? I mean, I know they caught all eight targets for 73 yards, but you get down to the red zone, and people will tell you it's more compact down there. The defense doesn't have to worry about guys really getting behind them. And it's really a lot of times, while you can scheme it up, a lot of times down there, it's more about the Jimmies and Joes than the X's and O's. And they needed their big money guys to win. Aguilar won. They scored their touchdown, but they didn't get enough wins down there. That's not Mac Jones' fault. And then defensively, to Bedard's point, you know, in terms of the adjustments, that's a great take by him. But also, that was a point in the game where they needed a stop, and you had to come up with a stop. And Damian Harris, yes, he fumbled the game away. Yes, they could have won the game, you know, 19-17. But how about getting the football back there and giving Mac Jones another shot? I mean, the defense should be a real strength of this team. So, even though on paper, statistically, the defense actually had a pretty good day, I think situationally, which is what the Patriots care about, they did not deliver.
All right, let's take some calls here for Gaspar. I think people want to discuss Mac Jones with you. Here's sure. Joe in New Hampshire. Go ahead, Joe.
Hey, fellas. Just a quick question. Did anybody go back and look at Brady's very first start and take his numbers and compare the numbers with Mac Jones's numbers? I'll hang up and listen. I just
think it's irrelevant.
It is irrelevant.
And so
I think it's irrelevant too, but I don't, you know.
For a couple different reasons. What? He's not going to be Brady. No one's Brady. So just stop it. Like, stop it.
But see, Mike, you're so right on that, but they won't admit that. Like, they're not going to tell you he's going to be Brady, but they also won't say he won't be Brady. And that's what I mean about this. And that's where I get aggravated.
Okay, well,
like,
how many
you want to call me out? That's fine. But then put your name on it that you think the guy's going to be Brady and that Belichick can make any guy into Brady. Just say it. Don't say like, oh, Jack Jones, he's not going to be a Jack. But then when I push you on and ask you, so you think he's going to be Brady? But then you won't say that he won't be Brady.
The whole thing is he's not Brady, not going to be. No one is. I mean, like, just everybody stop.
It's asinine.
It is ridiculous. So what does it matter what Brady's first game was versus Mac Jones or whatever. Mac Jones is not going to be Tom Brady. He's not going to be close. Stop. Okay, now two. Even if he were, and you did want to compare the first games, it's a different league in 01. In 01, Trent Dilfer and different, it wasn't so quarterback dependent like it is now. It's a different game. In 01, you could win the way the Patriots played it because the Buccaneers did it the year after and the Ravens had done it 2 years before. And now it's different. Now it's different. And I'm not telling you that, you know, Pat Mahomes is going to win every single year. And there might be a breakthrough team that wins on defense first, but it's going to be fewer and far between. So you can't get away with what they did with Brady in 01 now. You just can't. Mac Jones has to be better than that. Not that he's going to be a better player. He just has to be more productive because the game is just different. Chris, the league's different. That's what I think.
No, I would agree with everything you said there. And I think, like, if he plays, and I've said people are comparing him to the wrong Patriots quarterback. If he plays at the level Matt Castle played in 2008, where he was top 10 in completions and like tied for 10th or 11th in touchdown passes, they're in business. And I think that's attainable for him. But that's my point on this, though. They don't want to come out and say he's going to be Brady, but they also don't want to say he's not going to be Brady. And that's where I get frustrated. And by the way, with Brady in 2001, somebody tweeted this at me today, and I didn't know this. Do you know that in 2001, Tom Brady finished sixth in the league in passer rating? That's not the end-all, be-all stat. It certainly can be manipulated, no question about it. But again, I think there's a little revisionist history on just how far, you know, look, Brady definitely evolved. He wasn't Brady in the beginning, but I think he was a much better quarterback than people give him credit for. And he pretty much out of the box was like a top five, performing at like a top five quarterback level.
Take Kirk Cousins. He's a good NFL quarterback who lacks, I think, a certain thing. And hopefully Mac Jones has an intangible that we can't even quantify that will ultimately lead him to win more than Kirk Cousins. But from a pure talent standpoint and the way he runs an NFL game, if that's what he is, you're fine. And then you've got to hope that on top of that, he's got more balls and more poise and that thing that Kirk Cousins lacks, which he definitely does. But that's an intangible thing. From a talent standpoint, take that. Ben in Groveland. Go ahead, Ben.
I got a question and a comment. So, Chris, you just want everyone to put their name on it. I'm asking you, what person that has a legitimate, insane brain thinks that Mac Jones is going to be Tom Brady? Like, don't include the crazy Patriot fans that think that. Like, who have you seen in the media, on TV, anyone with, like, legitimacy said that Mac Jones is going to be Brady 2.0? That's my first question.
Well, I can think of one guy.
Yeah, I can too.
Hold on, go ahead, answer, guys, quickly.
Jeff Saturday. Jeff Saturday basically said that a couple of weeks ago. Look out, they just found the guy for the next 20 years. And again, it was probably hyperbole, but he did say it.
Christopher, who do you got?
Yeah, I was going to say that too. And I also would just say internally, there are maybe some comparisons.
They've done this crap before, though, too. They did it with Garoppolo.
Oh, my God. Well, you're right, because they have put it out there. You know, Charlie Weiss parrots it. Charlie Weiss puts those two in the same breath all the time. Charlie Weiss puts Brady, Tommy, and Mac Jones in the same sentence all the time. Yeah. Ooh, internally.
And they did. They used to talk about Garoppolo. Remember, he's doing a lot of the same things.
It doesn't look any different when Jimmy's out there.
All right, Ben.
Of course, with Garoppolo, they were right.
Okay, well, all right, Ben and Groveland, there you go. There's your answer to that. What? Stop. I talk, you talk. Just shush. There's your answer to number one, okay? People have compared the two. Give me number two, Ben.
Okay. All right, with Kirk Cousins, right? I would say, I think that's a fair comparison, but I think with the coaching from Bill and Josh, I think that instantly makes him a better than Kirk Cousins. And I'd say he'd probably be a top third quarterback going forward. Would you guys agree to that? Thanks, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Ben. Top third means he's the 11th best quarterback, 10th best quarterback in the league. That would be nice. If you've drafted the 10th best quarterback in the league, take it and run.
Oh, it's a massive win.
Okay?
No, I totally agree.
Yeah, I think if you get 15th or 16th, you're okay. You get down to the 20s, you're porked.
I think what's interesting about that, right, to Ben's point is, okay, so you're saying if you have Belichick and McDaniels, that's all they need. To me, that's always been the more fascinating part of the argument. It's not whether Mac Jones is Kirk Cousins or Andy Dalton or Tom Brady or Drew Brees. It's this idea of sort of what level of quarterback relative to Brady does Bill need to have the same success? Okay, so he doesn't need Tom Brady, but then what's the next level down? Is that Drew Brees? Is it Aaron Rodgers? Is it Dak Prescott? Is it Matt Ryan? Is it Kirk Cousins? Is it Andy Dalton? What's the next level down that Bill can have the same success with? Or is it that he can only have that level of success with Tom Brady?
And it's not just talent. Like, you can have the most talented guy. It's still going to be a four-point game with 3 minutes left, and the quarterback has the ball in his hands, and you're not running the ball there, and it's he's in shotgun. And do you make the play or do you not make the play? Do you have the balls? Do you have the poise? Do you have the intangible that you can – the game slows down for you in that moment, and you can come through. And Bill's still going to need that. They're all going to need that. So, like, don't just – you know, the talent is one thing. Okay, and almost might be the easier part. Like, Aaron Rodgers has all the talent in the world to win all these games, and he doesn't. He doesn't have that thing. He doesn't have it. Peyton Manning didn't really have it for all of his talent. So you got to, like, that's what's going to define it for Mac Jones. He might have the, I might see enough to say, you know what? He can get you if he just runs the system and you have a good team. He's going to get you to a certain spot. Now, what does he do when he hits that spot? No one knows. Here's an update from Big Jim Murray, and then we're back with more with Gaspa.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. You still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B, member FDIC.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season, so don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win, go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball. Basketball terms.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Before we go back to the phones, Gasper, you got a Red Sox take for us?
Yeah, it was interesting. I don't know if you guys read the story I sent you, but there was a story in The Athletic today that was interesting about sort of the price of going to a Major League Baseball game. And the Red Sox were on top of the list. They had the most expensive. It's not ticket. It's sort of that fan cost index. So you're talking about parking and you know, concessions and if you buy a hat or something like that. But the Red Sox were on top of this thing. And it's just interesting to me that they're asking this final push here, this final homestand. They want all the fans to show up and they want them to support them. But I think, you know, it's a little tough for a lot of people during the pandemic. We've seen an economic downturn. And when you look at it, you know, it's the most expensive experience in baseball. That's asking a lot.
And do you think there was a campaign here going on in this last couple of weeks? Or I don't say last couple of weeks, but, you know, since Cora on Sunday and I don't know, a little bit of a push there to get people to the park.
I think so. I mean, it's the last homestand, right? It's the last opportunity. I have no idea what the ticket sales are. It's an important homestand for the team, but I know some of the numbers have been probably below where they hope they would be. And so it makes sense to have a direct appeal from the most popular members of the organization, which would be Cora and the players, for people to come out to the ballpark and support the team during a playoff push. I'll tell you, regardless of what the attendance has been or what the level of interest or fan support has been, they've been gangbusters at home this year. I mean, 44-29 overall at home. And here's some numbers just after the All-Star break, 16-10 at home and scoring a league best 6.4 runs per game at Fenway while batting 285, which is tied for the best in the majors. But on the road, they're just 241, and the average in terms of runs per game dips to 3.9. So they're pretty well positioned here. So whether the fans show up or not, this is right in their wheelhouse, this eight-game series against the Orioles, the Mets, and the Yankees.
Chris, as you discuss those statistics, and I don't know if you watch our games or not, do you hear anybody beating on trash cans in the background? Or
I knew you were going to go there, Baz. I knew it. I was going to say, I don't know, did somebody have a Fitbit, an Apple Watch, or you know, whatever? Is there something going on there? But I mean, they hit like crazy at home, and then on the road, the numbers are markedly different, particularly since the All-Star break, and the numbers are really even more pronounced since the trade deadline. I won't get into those. So this is a huge series for them. They really have to make hay. And I know people have been pointing towards this and saying, okay, Baltimore Orioles at home, just chalk up the wins, but ask the Yankees about that.
Okay. If there is a tail off in interest, they have to drum it up. Why? You know, Shaughnessy wrote something the other day about it. What's your take?
I think it's last year, them being a last place team. I think a lot of people tapped out, not just on the Red Sox, but baseball in general. I think that a good portion of the summer, when they could have, you know, sort of captured the market and things were going on, they actually played some of their worst baseball. They got off to the really hot start and then sort of tailed off, particularly after the All-Star break. I mean, they were 55-36, I think it is, before the All-Star break. It hasn't been really pretty since the All-Star break. I believe they're under 500. So I think that's played into it. And I would just wonder who's the personality that reaches out and grabs you on this team. I think the closest thing is probably Xander, who's a very sort of, but he's kind of an understated, classy superstar in like the Patrice Bergeron mold. He's not like a Brady or a David Ortiz or a Larry Bird, or even if you want to say Red Sox guys of the past who were really popular and not ultimately Pantheon players like Nomar or Fred Lynn. They just don't have that guy that you're like, I have to see. Like Mookie Betts for me, guys, if I knew Mookie Betts was batting or coming up the next inning, I'd hang around to see him bat. There's nobody on this team. I'm not like, oh, I have to hang around to see Kyle Schwarber's at bat.
Sounds like the take police are coming for you.
Yeah, take police. Yep. They're like, would you go easy on Mac Jones already? Like, that poor guy. I said this to you out there, but these two guys, Mac Jones is going to have to be Tom Brady for these two to crowbar a nice thing about him.
Did I say anything negative about Mac Jones? I said the kid looked good. You have a quarterback in that post game in this whole effing week.
It's got nothing to do with Mac Jones. You're a Brady guy.
Exactly. Yeah.
And the coach is nothing without Brady. That's been proven.
No, but it's also a part to this whole thing. Garoppolo never had a chance. This guy's not going to have a chance with you, too. It's obvious already.
Murray, you would rather they suck and be right than Jones be good and bring them back.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, so there you go.
By the way, I just have to admit, I've changed my tune on Jimmy Garoppolo. I would have been really happy to see Jimmy come back. I think I maybe was a little unfair to Jimmy.
Well, that is a staggering bit of movement there on the part of Chris Gasper.
I think it was Ernie Adams who called the cops on him.
Right, let's wrap calls with Gasper, I promise, in a long commercial-free segment next.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Hey, everyone, it's Felger here. Now, you know the Sports Hub is the place to go for everything Boston sports. Well, I'd like to introduce you to another hub, the new business hub from Cambridge Savings Bank. It's your one-stop shop for articles, tools, resources, and banking solutions that can help you start, manage, and grow your small business. It's just the latest way CSB is supporting small businesses. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. They're a member FDIC.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books and it's finally time for the real season, so don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win, go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelpline MA.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.
You are a sorry liar. You are a sad, sorry liar.
98.5.
Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
From the 49. Four-man rush. Mack moves up. Fires down the middle. Aguilar makes the catch and takes a hit. At the 25 of Miami. What a strike. A dagger from Jones.
No question about arm strength right there. A great job on the blitz pickup to the left side to allow Jones to step up in the pocket. James White, I think it was. And he throws a dart to Aguilar right in front of the safety. 25 yards.
Second down and 15 from the Dolphin 14. Shotgun snap back to Jones. He's under pressure. Ooh. He throws downfield to Aguilar. Makes the catch at the 35. Nelson open along the near side. Hit by Rowe, but a first down completion for the Patriots.
Best throw of the day. Best throw of the day. Why? Because it's wraparound pressure. Free blitzer. He gets drilled as he's throwing this ball. And he hung in there and delivered one heck of a catchable ball to Aguilar on the outside.
Shotgun snap from the Pats 29. Jones stands and throws down the right side for White. Drops it in the basket. Makes the catch along the far sideline. Stepping out of bounds at the Dolphin 45.
Reminds you of anything?
Matched up with a linebacker. Great recognition, better execution. God.
That was pretty. Quintessential James White on that wheel route to the right side, and he drops it in the bucket, cool as a cucumber.
There's some Mac Jones highlights for Gasper and Murray. But to that previous caller's point, Zoe just did it. That remind you of anything? Zoe immediately did it. He didn't say Brady, but that's exactly what he was referencing with that wheel route.
That throw was pretty good.
It was.
For White! Drops it in the basket!
Heinicke had one like that last night to his running back.
Oh, God.
Oh, see J.D. McKissick.
Yeah, thank you.
Actually,
yeah. See? Thank you, Chris.
See what I mean? With these two, it's going to be...
No, it was good. I said it was a great throw. That was a wild throw, but like,
The tone.
White drops it in the basket!
We have Zoe's tone, where it's literally orgasmic on
White drops it in the basket!
And then it's these two. Like, yeah, Tyler Heinicke did that last night, too.
Big seriously. Game. Like, again, so that means the ones that Brady makes in those situations also don't mean much.
Well, they don't to him because they're just a given for Brady.
Tough road to hoe with those guys. All right. A couple of calls here for Gasper before he gets out of here. Christine in Connecticut. Go ahead, Christine.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Listen, of all the takes about Mac, you should take, how about Brady's opinion? There's been twice when he spoke out, once after Mac had that good practice against the Giants. Next day he's on there saying, hey, I had my knee done. I'm all much better. Everything's going to be good. The day after the game against the Dolphins last week, he's saying, well, you know what? Pretty soon they're going to forget about me with all these good young quarterbacks in the league. And if it's very pertinent, I think.
So you think Brady, Christine, you think Brady's like looking over his shoulder at Mac Jones?
Of course he is. He watches. Look how he was when Garoppolo came aboard. He wants the attention. He's seeing someone that could take that and erase it from him.
Okay, Christine.
You're out of your mind.
I think you're wrong, but thank you for the call.
I think that is such a great Patriot fan point of view, and I'm not saying that it is something that is widely shared, but that's such a great, like, no, he's still focused on us. Like, it's still about us.
Like, he gives
Tom Brady.
He gives two poops what Patriots fans think right now?
Oh, delusional.
Please.
Please. You know what he's doing? Yeah, he's looking over his shoulder at Mac Jones and laughing his ass off is what he's doing.
Steve in the car, go.
Yes, I'm calling. I think it's too early to compare Mac Jones to Tom Brady. That's crazy. Where's that crap coming from? Besides, it's the coaches that have to put the players in the position to make the plays and win the game. When the guy's gassed out, don't give him the ball again like they did last week.
Okay, on that point, it's too early. But to say it's too early to compare Mac Jones to Tom Brady is even wrong, too. It's never the right time. It's not too early. It's not too late. Don't do it now. Don't do it in 5 years. Don't do it in 10. If Mac Jones wins 5 Super Bowls, I'll let you start doing it. Because then he'll have 2 to go, and we can say maybe. But so... Like, there's never the right time to do it. Don't do it. Should they have been more judicious with Harris's workload, and was it a mistake to throw him back out on the field after he had tapped out two plays before at the end of that Dolphins game, Chris?
I think so, but it's a hindsight second guess. I have a hard time putting fumbles on coaches. You know, I Jones tried to do this with me on the Take Five podcast. He was my guest and he tried to do this. And I said, well, are you blaming John Harbaugh for Lamar Jackson's fumbles? I mean, I think part of it is, you know, he's gassed, Damien Harris is, because the players don't want to play in these preseason games and they wanted fewer preseason games. And a lot of guys were cramping up or gassed in week one. I can't put that on the coaches. The prohibitions are the prohibitions for them. I have a hard time blaming the coach. You know, he could have gone down. He could have held on to the ball.
We got Jeremy in Brookfield. Hi, Jeremy.
Hey, Mike. I haven't called in a bit since Jones was named the starter. And I think, like all of us, I was pretty excited about it. And it was really encouraging to see his first start. But we need to have, like, a PSA or something for Patriots fans, because I swear, if I hear, like, one more Patriot fan compare Brady to Mac Jones, who's played one game, when Brady has played in 9 Super Bowl games, I think I'm going to go to my car, get the wires, and stick them on my tongue before I want to listen to that comparison.
It's so hard, but it's...
Because these people are so desperate to have the quarterback, because they know without the quarterback, you're sunk. So please, please tell us it's Brady 2.0, please.
But it's going to be tough on the kid. I mean, I've told you the story a million times. Not that you care, but it's equivalent to, I grew up in Wisconsin after the Lombardi years. I was too young for it. But I grew up watching football games with my father and his friends and everyone in the living room bitching at the TV saying Lombardi never would have done that. Lombardi, when they had Lombardi, they would have done this. And when Lombardi was here, they used to do that. And they would, on 3rd and 1, Bart Starr would go up top. And why is this guy doing that? And all it was a giant bitch fest all Sunday long about how the current coach was some bozo compared to what Lombardi used to be, what Lombardi used to do.
That sounds awesome, actually.
That was my whole childhood.
Yeah, that sounds really enjoyable, actually. that really explains a lot about Felger right now. I mean, in his formative years, it was just complaining about everything and nothing was good enough. Wow, that makes so much sense. I feel
Absolutely.
Like this is a therapy session.
This is why you got into talk radio.
Every sentence began with, well, Lombardi would have. And then, you know, you bitch about how they lost that Sunday. It's like everything was in the shadow and in the context of that. It was ridiculous. And that's what this kid is in for, especially if you people keep doing this thing of, well, when Brady in 01 and you can duplicate, just stop it for your own good. Trust me. Stop it for his own good. Stop it.
See, there should be some sort of penalty if you do it on the air. Like, if a caller does it...
Can we report them to HR?
Well, something like...
Can we report Zoe?
Well, I don't mean us, per se, although there should be that penalty, too, but can we send some sort of electrical current through the phone?
Gasper, give me a minute on Patriots-Jets. No way they lose this game, is there?
Yeah, I don't think so. You know, the Jets really, they were devastated at pass rusher with Carl Lawson going down, and then Vinnie Curry's out for the year with a blood disorder. I don't think they can generate the pass rush, which will play into the Patriots' hands. Their linebackers aren't great. This should be a win for the Patriots. On the other side, I'm intrigued. I think Bill's 1,500-word answer today on the long snapper is a great sign for Patriots fans. Because on those Fridays when he's effusive like that, you know, Bill always says the hay's in the barn by Friday. That means he feels really good about their plan. So I think they're going to confuse the heck out of Zach Wilson. They'll probably keep him in the pocket. You know, it'll be a controlled rush from the outside. Stay in your rush lanes. Don't let this kid get outside the pocket. I bet you Bill believes this kid can't read defenses from the pocket, and all his good throws were made when he, like, scrambled outside the pocket and was improvisational, and they're going to have something set up so he can't do that. So I like the Patriots, and I like them big in this game.
I mean, if he doesn't feel good about the game on Friday against the Jets, he's never going to feel good. This thing should be a slam dunk.
All right,
slam
Chris,
dunk.
Chris, thanks for the time. We got Murray Gasper tomorrow. We got Pat's coverage on Sunday.
Yeah, first time in like a month. So we're on at 11, and I'll be putting the screws to Gasper to find out which was worse for him this week. His beloved Florida State losing to Jacksonville State at the last second, or having to admit that Mac Jones is more than a Jack.
Okay, that should be interesting.
Oh, it's the second thing for sure.
Tomorrow we're going to be picking apart Mac Jones's game.
Define Jag.
Thanks, Chris. We'll see you next week.
See you guys.
Here's an update from Murray. 90 seconds, no commercials, I promise. Right back to your phones.
Hey everyone, it's Felger here for Cambridge Savings Bank, my official bank. Listen, small businesses are so important to our communities. That's why I'm excited to share CSB's new business hub with articles, tools, and resources to help you start, manage, and grow your small business. Still have questions? Just fill out the contact form on the site to get in touch directly with the small business team. Check it out at cambridgesavings.com/hub. That's H-U-B. Member FDIC.
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.
Hey, it's Maz. Are you tired of small inconveniences that always turn into big headaches at home? Well, my friends at Rodenizer Home Services can make small fixes like repairing leaky faucets, adding or replacing electrical outlets and lights, or clearing slow drains that will provide big comfort for your home. And with over 10,000 five-star reviews, Rodenizer's expert technicians are just a call away and ready to fix those inconveniences at your home. Experience the difference with Rodenizer Home Services. Visit Rodenizer.com to schedule today. That's Rodenizer Home Services. Nice people. People, great service since 1928.